Hey everyone, and welcome to Murder and Mysteries with Megan. If you are new here, welcome. And if you're not new here, welcome back. I'm grateful for each and every one of you that are here today. Here we talk about true crime, conspiracies, hauntings, and other types of mysteries. So if that's something you're interested in, make sure to stick around by hitting that subscribe button on YouTube, or you can follow my podcast as well. Today we will be talking about DNA / genetics testing and how far everything has come in the last few years in assisting law enforcement in this field, allowing more and more cold cases to be solved each and every year. In 2018, different police departments and agencies stated that with the help of DNA testing, they were actually able to find the suspects that were involved in 28 different crime cases, including rape and murder, that occurred that year. By the end of the year, FBI and law enforcement were able to upload DNA that they had collected from crime scenes in order to help assist in more unsolved and cold cases. Now, years later, there have been multiple cases that have been solved, suspects that have been identified, and even John and Jane Doe's that have been unidentified for years that are finally being able to be given back their names by using this type of technology. It really is an absolutely amazing and incredible tool that is able to be used to help these families, loved ones, and victims in finding answers and justice for the crimes that were committed against them. Today we will be talking about three different cases that were solved because of this technology. Number one, Viola Hagencourt, Anaheim, California, February 18, 1980. On February 18, 1980, Anaheim police officers received a call from a neighbor of Viola Hagencourt after they found her dead in her apartment. See, Viola was quite well known in the apartment complex on the 2500 block of West Winston Road. And when no one had seen her for a couple of days, the neighbor went in to her apartment and found her there. It appeared as though the 79-year-old had been sexually assaulted and then killed by asphyxiation. Unfortunately, despite law enforcement's best efforts to extensively investigate the scene of the crime and all of the available evidence, the case ended up going cold. Over the course of the next 40 years, many new homicide detectives went over and through the case. However, it still remained unsolved. Finally, in September of 2020, detectives were once again on the case. However, this time, when they reviewed all of the evidence, they had help. They were working alongside the Orange County Crime Lab and the FBI's Orange County Violent Crime Task Force. As a result, there was a man who was identified by DNA testing that was linked to this horrific crime. His name, Andre William LaPere. Andre William LaPere was arrested in Alamogordo, New Mexico in April of 2021 and was charged with her assault and first-degree murder. He was then taken to the Otero County Sheriff's Department without bond to await extradition to California to face charges and trial. Number two, 7-year-old girl, Greeley, Colorado, September 18th of 2001. The next case that we're going to talk about that was solved using DNA evidence is about a young girl, only 7 years old, who was sexually assaulted back in 2001. Now, for all intents and purposes, we'll call her Jane. On September 18th of 2001, Jane and her older brother, who was 8 at the time, were walking to school together on 9th Street in Greeley. A man, who she would later describe light-skinned with a bad complexion and around 25 years old, then jumped out of a car that was sitting in the alleyway and forced Jane to get inside. At this point, the man started up the car, took her to a secluded area, and sexually assaulted Jane. Luckily, though, Jane was able to escape and run away. She ran and ran until she reached the Air National Guard gate that was near the Greeley Airport to get help. Subsequently, the police were called, where they collected physical evidence and talked to Jane just a little bit more about her attacker. In addition to telling the police that he was a light-skinned man around 25, she also mentioned that he spoke a bit of Spanish and that she thought he had a tattoo of a snake on his forearm. Despite physical evidence being collected, it wasn't until August of 2019, almost 18 years later, that the Greeley police actually asked for help from Parabon Nanolabs. They asked help to try to identify physical appearance and ancestry of the perpetrator through this DNA evidence they had. They also wanted to know what this person would look like or could look like with age progression photos. This in turn allowed police to narrow down the suspect list and potentially come across new leads. In February of 2021, this led them to a man named Jamie or James Zamora, who was 26 years old at the time of the attack and actually lived in Greeley. Unfortunately, Jamie Zamora died in 2014, so he will never serve a sentence for what he did to this little girl. But evidence was obtained from his autopsy and sent to the forensic lab in northern Colorado. His DNA was a match from the DNA taken back in 2001. She and her family were both notified that the man responsible had officially been identified and was no longer alive. Number 3, Angie Dodge, Idaho Falls, Idaho, June 13th, 1996. The third and final case that we will talk about today that used DNA and genetic technology to identify the perpetrator is about an 18-year-old woman named Angie Dodge. This particular case has a twist to it, however. On June 13, 1996, Angie Dodge was sexually assaulted and then murdered. At first, Idaho officials thought that a man named Chris Tapp was one of the multiple participants in the death of Angie. After being interrogated for over 100 hours, 20-year-old Tapps confessed to the crime, even though there was no physical evidence. In his confession, it was never consistent and was constantly contradicting itself. Despite this, he was convicted for aiding and abetting in Angie's assault and murder and was sentenced to 30 years. 5 years later, in 2001, Chris Tapp actually recanted his prior confession and stated that he had been coerced by the officers and fed information by them. It was in 2007 that the Idaho Innocence Project started looking into his case and his confession, and they also arrived at the same conclusion, that he was coerced. His case was appealed in 2017. His sentence reduced. Now, by this point, it was time served and he was released. There was also another man who was accused of her murder as well, named Michael Usery Jr. However, after he was interrogated and a saliva sample was taken, it was determined that his DNA didn't match the DNA found at Angie Dodge's murder scene. So at this point, the case went cold. It wasn't until 2018 when Idaho Falls made another attempt to use familial DNA to try to find the perpetrator of this terrible crime. The results stated that the murderer had to be the grandson or great-grandson of a couple, Clarence Usery and Cleo Landrum. At this point, they initially found 6 different male descendants of this couple, one of which had actually been living in Idaho in 1996 at the time of Angie's death. However, despite this seemingly positive lead, the person's DNA didn't match the crime scene over 20 years earlier. After more research and investigating, they found one more person, Brian Lee Drips Sr. He also had lived in Idaho, actually Idaho Falls, in 1996. Investigators actually were able to obtain a DNA sample from a cigarette that he threw from his car. It was a complete genetic match. When police officers brought him in for interrogation, he actually confessed to the sexual assault and murder of Angie Dodge, and that he had been living across the street from her house during that time period. In a court appearance later that year, he pled not guilty, and the prosecutors actually announced that they intended to go after the death penalty in this case. In February of 2021, it appears that Drip decided to take a plea deal, pleading guilty in order to have a minimum sentence of 20 years with the possibility of parole, up to the possibility of life as his maximum sentence. During that particular hearing, the death sentence was not mentioned, though. Oh, and the original man who was arrested in the assault and murder of Angie, Chris Tapps, well, he has since been exonerated and has actually taken out a lawsuit on the city of Idaho Falls for a wrongful conviction and 20 years behind bars for something he didn't do. Well, everyone, I wanted to do something like this just to be able to talk with you a little bit about how far things have come in the last few years in technology and forensic science. Cases that some thought may never be answered. Innocent people are being exonerated for something that they never had anything to do with. Jane and John Doe's are finally getting their names back. These are just a few of their stories that we heard today. I hope that you all enjoyed today's episode here on Murder and Mysteries with Megan. Please make sure to hit that follow before you head out today so you can catch any upcoming episodes. I hope you all have a wonderful and safe week, and until next time, my mystery lovers, bye!